And to read from the Bible, starting in the Old Testament. I'll give you a page number because it's hard to find. It's page number 821. And it's the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 2, page 821. 821. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, and verse 4. And these are the words of King Solomon hundreds of years ago, long, long before Jesus came. King Solomon, king of Israel, wrote this. He said, I made me great works, there in verse 4. I builded houses. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks. I planted trees in them of every kind of fruit. I made ponds of water to water the wood where the trees are reared. I acquired servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of herds and flocks above all that had been in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got men singers and women singers and the delights of the children of men, a wife and concubines. And I became great, and I increased more than all had been before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labour, and this was the portion from all my labour. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, on the labour that it had cost me to do them. And behold, all was vanity and pursuit of the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. And some verses in the New Testament, just short ones. The first one is on page 1397. 1397. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Page 1397. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he being rich became poor, in order that you by his poverty might be enriched. I'll read that again, the middle bit. For your sakes he being rich became poor. And one more verse. It's in John's Gospel. It's on page 1278. 1278. John's Gospel chapter 7 and verse 37. 1278. And verse 37 says, in the last, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Somebody asked me once, if you could have any car that you wanted, any car at all, what would you choose? I wonder what you'd choose. If money was no problem, and you could have any car at all, what would you choose? I sometimes think I would like a little open-top sports car, perhaps an Audi. If you ask my son, he'll tell you he'd like a Mini. Not one of those Minis they make today, those fat, chunky ones, but an old Mini, you know, those really tiny Minis where you can really only get two people in the front and two in the back, and then it's a really cramped. One of those Minis he'd quite like. But I'm guessing that if you had the choice and you could try a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, or maybe if you're more Bernard's age, maybe a Rolls Royce or something with a bit more comfort, maybe you'd go for that. Well, I read to you these verses written by King Solomon all those hundreds of years ago because he could have absolutely anything that he liked, and he did. Tells you that he says, whatever my eyes desired, I didn't keep it from them. I could, ever I fancied, I had it, he said. And he could. He was incredibly rich. Incredibly rich. Probably at the time when he lived, there was probably nobody who was richer. Gold just poured in, year by year. It says he has so much gold that the plates that he ate off and the cups that he drank from, they were made of gold. And silver, which is really valuable, it was like nothing. Because he had so much gold. He could afford what he wanted. And he tried what I think of as a great big experiment. He went and used his money on anything that he wanted.
If it had been today, he wouldn't have had a Rolls Royce or a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. He'd have had hundreds of them. One wouldn't have been enough. He'd have had as many as he wanted. But he couldn't, could he? Nobody had invented them. So instead, as I read to you, he built himself houses. Do you know how long it took him to build his house? I don't know how big it was. His main house that he lived in. Bible tells you it took him 13 years. 13 years to build a house. How big's that? And he had more than one. He says, I planted vineyards to grow wine. And I made gardens and parks. And I planted them with all sorts of things. As much land as he wanted. And then he didn't do very much. He had as many servants as he wanted. He didn't have to clean up or wash the dishes or do the cooking. He didn't have to put the rubbish out. He had servants, as many as he wanted. I acquired servants, he said. And I had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than anybody who'd lived in Jerusalem before me. And I gathered together silver and gold, he said. And I had people to entertain me. No films, no DVDs, no TV, not in those days. But he had people to come and sing. What would that cost? People to come and play music to him. Whatever he wanted. I had men singers, he said, and women singers. And I had the delights of children of men, a wife and concubines. He's understating it a bit. He says, I had a wife. You can see in the Bible, he had 700 wives. 700. One wasn't enough. 700 wives. And another 300 women who were not his wives. They were concubines. And I became great. And at the end of it all, after all the years of that big experiment of just having whatever he wanted and as much as he possibly wanted, at the end of it all, he says this. He says, I looked on it all, in verse 11. All of it. And I looked at what it cost me and what I got. And look, he says, it was vanity and pursuit of the wind. It's like nothing, he said. It doesn't satisfy me. I've had as much as I can of everything there is. All the good things you could possibly have, I've had them all. But I'm not happy, he said. I'm not satisfied. It's not enough. There's something missing. And you know, that's written in the Bible, this true story of Solomon and what he did. It's written so that you and I, who come years later, we might know that even today and even for you and me, the answer to true happiness and the answer to true satisfaction inside you is not just getting more and more stuff. It's not about better cars and bigger houses. It doesn't matter how much you've got, Solomon says. In the end, it won't make you happy, not lasting happiness, and it won't satisfy something inside your soul. Solomon, think about it, right? Solomon was born as a little baby. He was the son of a king, King David. But he was born as a little baby. And when he was born, on that day he was born, he had nothing. Nothing. By the time he was a man and a king, he had everything. He was incredibly rich. But he started with nothing. And then he got more and more and more and more until he had everything that he wanted. So I read you a scripture in the New Testament about somebody who started with everything. Someone who started with everything. Before he was born, he had everything. Think about that. That's the scripture in Corinthians. It's talking about Jesus Christ, who lived 2,000 years ago, as you well know, probably, in what today we call Israel or Palestine. A real man who really lived. And the scripture says he was rich, but for your sakes, yours and mine, he became poor. It's the other way round to Solomon. What the scripture tells you
is that he existed as God. As God, that's who he is. Before the beginning of the world, before any animal or any human being or any man or woman ever even breathed, he was there. Before this world existed, he was there. And the Bible says, he made it all. He made it all. He had everything. Everything. And one day, 2,000 years ago, he left it. And he came down. And he was born as a little baby in Bethlehem. And he became a child, like you and me. And he grew up as a teenager. And he grew up to be a young man and to be a real man. And he had nothing. He left it all behind. Left it. And came here. And he could choose. God can choose what he likes, can't he? So he could choose. He could have been born in a palace. He could have been born in a really, really rich family. He could have been born today rather than 2,000 years ago. So he had all the comforts that we've got. Heating and fridges and electricity. But he didn't. He chose to be born 2,000 years ago. He chose the time. And he chose the place. And he chose the poor family. And he had nothing. He didn't own a house. He didn't have his own home most of the time. He didn't have a car. As far as I can see, all he really owned were the clothes that he was wearing. And that was about it. He became poor. One day he was standing in the temple in Jerusalem. That's the scripture I read to you in John's Gospel. Standing in the temple. And he says he stood in the last great day of the feast that was going on in Jerusalem. It says he stood and he cried and he said, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." This is water. You understand what it means to drink water, don't you? He wasn't talking about water when he said, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." He wasn't talking about alcohol. He wasn't talking about any kind of liquid that you've ever known. When he said, "If anyone thirst, let them come to me and drink," he was talking about something else. He was talking about something which is pretty close to what Solomon was talking about. Solomon said, "I've got everything. Everything my heart could ever want, I've got it. And I'm still not satisfied. There's something inside me that's still empty somewhere." And that's what Jesus was talking about. This poor man, Jesus, this man who was poor, was saying, "I've got something that I can give you, which will satisfy what Solomon couldn't find, which will satisfy the need that's deep down inside you." I like to think of it this way. Scripture doesn't exactly say this, but I like to think of it this way. You and I are made with a hole inside us. And it's a hole that's shaped so that only God can fill it. And without God, you will also always feel empty. And without your God, you will always feel unsatisfied. Despite whatever you try and whatever you do, you always feel unsatisfied somewhere without your God. And here he was in the temple in Jerusalem. Your God. Here is a man standing there and saying something to the people of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, which he is still saying today. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Years before, not years before, perhaps, I don't know how long before, Jesus had been at a place called Sychar, in a story that's told in John's Gospel and chapter 4. And he'd been sitting by a well in Sychar, in the heat of the day, and he was thirsty himself, thirsty for water. And he had nothing to draw down into the well to get the water. No shops to buy water, no bottles of water. He wasn't carrying water in his pack. He needed somebody to drop a bucket or something down into that well and bring some water up. And a woman came. In the heat of the day, she came to that well. And he asked her for water. And John's Gospel chapter 4, I'm not going to read it to you, tells the story of the conversation between Jesus and that woman. And at one point he said to her this. He said, "Everyone who drinks of this water from this well, they'll thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. But the water which I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." Jesus said to that woman, just as he's saying here in the temple when he does this cry, he's saying, "I've got something to give you which will satisfy your heart and your soul in a way that nothing else in this world ever will. And you need it." And how do you get it? How do you get this thing that Jesus was talking about that satisfies you inside? Well, he tells you. He says, if anyone thirsts, if you feel a need for this thing that Jesus has, he says, well, let him come. If anyone thirsts, just he says, let him come to me and drink. And there you have it. That's what the gospel message is all about. Jesus says, if you want soul satisfaction, just he says, come to me. And how do you come? How do you come to Jesus Christ? He lived 2,000 years ago. How on earth do you come in Basildon tonight? It's not hard. He was crucified, as you know. And on the third day he was raised again and he's alive. And you can speak to him in Basildon. You can speak to him now. And he will hear. That's his promise. And you just come. You don't need to move your feet. You don't need to move your hands. You don't even need to move your lips. Inside, you can quietly speak to Jesus. And that's what he means by just come. You know what he did? What the Bible says he did? The Bible says we're sinners. And what causes the distance between us and God? And what causes that deep need inside us? And what causes that unsatisfaction and that hole inside us is our sin. The things that we do wrong. You know, the lies and the selfishness and the stuff that we all do that spoils us and keeps us from God. You know what Jesus did? When he was crucified on that cross, he offered himself as a sacrifice. He offered to take all your sins and all God's judgment for your sins into himself. And he did. And the scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ, the lifeblood which flowed from him when a spear went into his side, the scripture says that blood is enough in the eyes of God to wash away your sins forever. And to give you peace with God. That's what he's offering. Soul satisfaction. Peace with God. Sins forgiven. Not being afraid of dying. Knowing that you're going to heaven. Knowing that Jesus lives and God is real. That's what he's offering you. If you haven't got that, if you've got a dissatisfied hole in your heart and you need Jesus, he says all you need to do, he says is don't wait any longer. Just quietly come. In your heart, inside, he says, come. Come to me. All you that are weary and heavy laden, he says, just come. Don't wait until you're better. Don't wait until you've turned a new leaf or something like that. Jesus doesn't say that. He just says, if you feel your need of him, then inside, just quietly come. Come to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you your sins and be your saviour. Ask him to fill that hole inside you and make you satisfied. In a way that nothing in this world ever will. He was incredibly rich. One with God himself. But for your sakes, the scripture says, he who was rich, he became poor. Even to the extent of dying on a cross. And offering himself as a sacrifice for you. And now he just asks you tonight, if you'll come. If you'll believe what he said. If you'll trust in what he's done. If you'll come, asking to forgive you your sins and be your saviour and fill your heart and give you peace, give you joy. Will you come? You don't need to say it out loud, but quietly in your heart right now, Jesus says to you, will you come?